Well, how can a church be pleasing to God? Take us here at UBC. We're a church. We want to be pleasing to God. I want us to be pleasing to God. What do we need in order to do that? At my previous house I lived in, I had a single tree in my front yard. I only had one. And it was year after year, it would go through the normal seasonal cycle. In the spring, leaves would grow on the tree, and then when it turned fall, the leaves would change into those wonderful orange and red colors that we associate with autumn before eventually falling to the ground. And year after year after year after year, it would go through that cycle. Until one year, to my shock, I went out, and what I thought was this ordinary yard tree all of a sudden had grown the largest peaches you have ever seen. It was unbelievable. They were the size of cantaloupes. I kid you not. They were so large that they would weigh down the branches that they would be on, and they eventually would just fall off. You didn't even have to pick them. It was unbelievable. And I think about that tree regularly. You see, for a tree to bear fruit, it needs certain resources. It needs sunlight, water. It needs rich nutrients from the soil. And if it gets those, it'll bear fruit. And churches really are not different. If a church gets certain things, it'll be a church that pleases God. So the question is, what do we need? What do we need? And the good news for us is that Paul answers this question for us in a letter to another church, the church in Colossae. You see, Colossians is a letter about the sufficiency of Christ. If you could summarize the book of Colossians in three words, it would be, Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is sufficient. If Hebrews is Jesus is better, Colossians is Jesus is sufficient. Or if you wanted a fuller summarization, you could say, Jesus Christ, the supreme and sufficient Lord, enables believers to mature, resist falsehood, and abound in godliness and gratitude in all things. That's the whole book summary of Colossians. And what we have here is a pastor, a godly pastor, praying for a church. And Paul is concerned because even though he has heard about the Colossians' love in the Spirit, he's also been given news about a dangerous teaching that is threatening to lead the Colossians away from Jesus. A teaching that, according to Colossians 2:23, has the appearance of wisdom. But it's actually antithetical to the gospel. So in this prayer, we see what a church needs in order to be pleasing to God. And friends, this is a good word for us. Because this is what not only what the Colossians needed, it's what we at UBC need as well. So look with me at Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What is Paul praying for? What is it that we as a church need in order to be pleasing to God? We need knowledge of his will. We need knowledge of his will, his precepts and his commands for us, his law. But you see, it's one thing to know the will of God. It's another thing to be filled with it and be able to apply it spontaneously in the everyday moments. And that, beloved, requires not just knowledge. That requires wisdom. And Paul wants us to be filled with the knowledge of God's will and to be able to walk in it. And to do that, we need spiritual wisdom, wisdom that is from God. And what this text teaches is this, and this is our main point. A church pleases God by being filled with the knowledge of God, filled with the knowledge of God's will, and spiritual wisdom to apply it. Let me say that again. A church pleases God by being filled with the knowledge of God's will and spiritual wisdom to apply it. And we find this in verses 9 through 10a, okay? And so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you. That's a good word in and of itself. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. There it is. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. There it is. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Beloved, the main verb in this text is found in verse 10. Walk. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's the point. Why do we need wisdom? To walk worthy of the Lord. What does a church that walks in a pleasing way to the Lord look like? Three participles govern the structure and answers this for us. Bearing fruit, being strengthened, and giving thanks. And those are going to form our subpoints. Number one, bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's verse 10. Number two, being strengthened to endure trials patiently with joy. That's verse 11. And number three, being thankful to God for his grace in Christ. Verse 12. So let's jump in. A church pleases God by being filled with the knowledge of God's will and spiritual wisdom to apply it. So what does that look like? What does that look like in a church? What may that look like in us here at UBC? So point number one, a church that pleases God bears fruit and increases in the knowledge of God. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, beloved, a church that is pleasing to God is a church that bears fruit and increases in its knowledge. Remember my fruit tree. For a tree to produce fruit, it needs certain resources: water, sunlight, rich nutrients from the soil, right? Likewise, for a church to produce fruit, it too needs certain things. It needs to know God's will, right? It needs spiritual wisdom from God, which comes through the word and prayer. If a church gets those day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, beloved, that church will bear fruit. That church will bear fruit, and it will increase in the knowledge of God. And beloved, that's why we've got to be ruthlessly Bible-centered and Bible-saturated. Knowledge of God's will comes through God's divinely appointed instrument, the Scriptures. Do you want to know what God wants of you? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Members of UBC, read your Bible. Here's a question. Are you in the Word enough to where it could be said of you, not that you just read your Bibles, but that you're filled by it? That's what Paul is praying for. Get the nutrients that you need. Get the nutrients that you need. Then we as a church will bear fruit in every good work, not just the comfortable ones, but every good work, and we'll increase in our knowledge of God, and we'll walk in a way that's pleasing to God. That said, as we seek to walk pleasing to God, we will inevitably face various kinds of trials. And the good news for us is that in verse 11, it says that if we're filled with the knowledge of his will, with spiritual wisdom, then we'll be strengthened to face them with patience and with joy. And this leads to our next subpoint. Subpoint number two. A church that pleases God is strengthened by God to face trials with patience and joy. Verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. You see, trials for a church come in many different forms. Some trials look like persecution, right? So we're seeing that in Hebrews. But not all trials look like that. Some trials look like standing firm on Christ when other things try to cause you to drift. And that's what the Colossians were threatened with. You see, the Colossians were threatened to add to the work of Christ. They were threatened to losing Christ by addition. Whatever the trial is, we need knowledge of God's will and His wisdom to press on faithfully. We need wisdom from God so that we can be strengthened to endure various trials as a church. And the good news is, beloved, is that God gives this wisdom when we ask for it. He isn't stingy with His wisdom, but He gives generously. Not begrudgingly, but lovingly. He is infinite in His wisdom. He's not going to run out. He's got plenty to spare. All we have to do is ask. In God, there is a treasure trove of wisdom ready for you to tap into. All you have to do is ask for it. So when we as a church are in the midst of trials, friends, are you praying for UBC? Are you praying for spiritual wisdom so that we can walk worthy of the Lord, strengthened for endurance to face our trials with patience and with joy? And notice that the strength that He gives is according to His might, not ours. To bear trials faithfully requires a strength that is outside of us. Beloved, if we try to face trials in our own strength, we will fail miserably. But oh, if we face them with the strength that God gives, we'll be able to endure. We'll be able to endure. Follow the apostles' example and pray without ceasing for your church. Pray for your pastors. Pray for wisdom for them. Pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Pray for one another. Pray for each other so that we too can be filled with the knowledge of God's will, so that we can walk worthy by being strengthened to endure trials with patience and with joy. And lastly, subpoint number 3, a church that pleases God will be characterized by thankfulness for God's grace in Christ. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. The old Bible commentator Matthew Henry said this. He says, thanksgiving is good, but thanks living is better. Brothers and sisters, our church ought to be characterized by a life of thankfulness to God for the grace that He has shown to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, God sent His Son into the world to live the life that we couldn't. He lived the life perfectly, fulfilling the law perfectly, and then went to the cross as your substitute, bearing the wrath of God on your behalf. And God raised Him from the dead, and He has ascended to heaven, where He is now crowned with glory and honor for the sacrifice that He made for sins. And beloved, listen to this. If you are in Christ, then you have an inheritance coming. And it is undefiled, unstained, kept in heaven for you. And it is in glory, and it is an inheritance in the sharing of the saints in light. And this is not of your own doing. Praise God, this is all of grace. It is all of grace. Brothers and sisters, thankfulness ought to exude from us for this mercy, from the works that we do to the words that we say. Question, when you speak to others in this church, do your words contribute to a culture of gratitude or to a culture of grumbling? Grumbling has no place in a people that has been redeemed by grace. When you come to church on Sunday morning, are you filled with thankfulness? And are you ready to sing to the Lord your praises? Beloved, may thankfulness ever be on our lips. And if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, we are so glad that you are here. But it's critical that you know that as you are right now, you don't have an inheritance in this portion. But you can. What is keeping you, my friend, from giving your life to Jesus Christ, from receiving him with the empty hands of faith? Repent of your sins, friend, and receive the one who is sufficient to save you. You are not sufficient in yourself, but, oh friend, Christ is. Receive him. Receive him. Brothers and sisters, in closing, we need the knowledge of God's will and the wisdom of God in order to walk worthy and please God. May we be a church that is marked by bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God, by being strengthened to endure trials with patience and with joy, and by thankfulness in our hearts for God's grace in his Son. Let's pray.